Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague on Football Friday on 1080 The Fan.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously.
This is a Football Friday edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Hope your Friday's going well. Radio.com as well. Les Schwab Tires podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find that, along with many other great content things.
All the contents are there.
The poll question for primetime.
That's where it is. All the good stuffs.
The stuff.
We got all the stuff.
The sports stories are on the website. You got to check the website out.
There you go.
We have a lot to get to here in the second hour. It is a Football Friday. We got college football to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Got some good games this weekend, potentially.
Some really good games in the NFL this weekend, too. Like one listener yesterday.
It's rivalry weekend.
It is. And, you know, we pick our Pro Football Challenge. We used to do every game. And a listener said he missed that because we don't get to some of the bigger games. And I was like, yeah, don't you worry, man. We're
going to get to
those games today.
Yeah, and I have a non-sports story to get to coming up at 1:15. In the celebrity world, you wouldn't be shocked to hear that. But in the celebrity world, there was one big mega celebrity who, as a birthday gift, got a hologram of their dead parent.
Really weird. Really weird. Very strange.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
I want to know how you'd feel if I showed up to your birthday with a hologram of one of your parents.
What is this, like Harry Potter? We got the wands connected and all my dead relatives are coming out to give me words of encouragement.
Don't worry, Harry.
Don't
it's
worry.
Just like sleeping.
Harry, he'll be okay.
Okay. I want to start with the Patriots. I didn't get to this yesterday.
Okay.
So they've announced Stephon Gilmore is out this week. Cam Newton doesn't look right. Yeah, maybe people don't think he's good, but I think there's clearly something that's happened where he can't make passes anymore.
Julian Edelman and Keel Harry both out this week.
That just came across the wire during the commercial break. So there's no weapons available for New England this weekend. Their defense is just depleted. It's not very good. I did not buy, and I still don't buy, that Belichick went into the year actively trying to tank. But I ask you now, on October 30th, with all of these players going out, by the way, Stephon Gilmore put his house up for sale. The last player to do that as a Patriot was Tom Brady. So many people are wondering he's going to get traded before Tuesday's deadline. Do you think Belichick is going in on the tank now, or do you just sum this up as saying a lot of injuries, they'll get healthy, no way he'd ever completely tank during the season, and he'll try to compete for a wild card spot?
If the reports are true, and we'll see. I mean, we got, 4 days now until the NFL trade deadline, and even if they don't make a lot of household moves, I'm not expecting much from New England the rest of the year. It's just not a very good football team this season. But if the reports are true and they end up moving a couple of guys, especially Stephon Gilmore, who is arguably still the best cornerback in the NFL, and he just got a restructured contract to boot, they're for sure going in on the tank, and I can't blame Belichick at all for that. I think he tried to give it a go this year with Cam Newton. He wasn't really planning on making that move initially. Remember all the hot air we had about Jared Stidham in the offseason? Like, he's the guy. We're confident in him. Then they go out and get Cam Newton. Jared Stidham's not very good. He doesn't have a franchise quarterback. And I don't know if it's just the end of the road for Cam, if he got some injuries or hits that we just don't know about that re-aggravated some of the injuries he was dealing with, but the guy can't throw the football accurately. He can't move the way he used to as a running mobile quarterback, and that's a really bad combination because at least prior, he wasn't a great passer, but he was a great athlete, and he would overcome it by rushing for 60, 70 yards a game, and he was unstoppable inside the five-yard line. When both of those aspects of his game are gone, like, no thanks, man. I want nothing to do with that quarterback. And so the rest of the year, he would be smart to hit the reset button a little bit. You look around the division, Buffalo is trying to figure out what they have in Josh Allen. He's having a better year, but up and down. That's a good roster, though. Miami is a team that has completely hit the reset button. They feel like they had their franchise quarterback, and we'll see how he plays this week. But they got a ton of draft picks to come. And, you know, the Jets are the Jets, so that's not going to concern you too much. But I think he would be smart to say, man, we're not going anywhere this year. My Cam Newton experience didn't work out. Stephon Gilmore is going to get me a ton on the trade market. Somebody's going to give you probably a couple of first-round picks, or at least one first-round pick for a guy of that caliber.
You think you get a first?
If you can get first for Jamal Adams, why can't you for Stephon Gilmore?
That's a fair point.
And it's going to depend on what the market looks like and what teams that are trying to go all in have first-round picks to give up and are willing to give it up. But if you can hit the reset button for 1 year, have a bad season, find a way to your next franchise quarterback, plus add draft picks, that's a win for New England.
Well, you know, a lot of people made this point before, and I think this past weekend it kind of just solidified it again because people love to do the, was it Brady or was it Bill? And after last weekend's performances on both sides, the Bucs steamrolling the Raiders in Vegas and then the Patriots getting just smacked across the face by the 49ers at home. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of people already saying it's done. Bill lost. It was clearly Brady. And I find that to be a bit odd. I know why we have those conversations. We all love having them. But reality is, one doesn't win without the other. But I find it interesting that I think this is going to be an every week thing.
Like five games in, we've already settled the debate.
Yeah, Brady won it. It was clearly Brady, not Belichick. And it's like, well,
let's see where Brady goes the rest of the year. They're looking good, but let's see how their season goes in Tampa. And
well, also, it might just be a one good season for Brady in Tampa, whereas like maybe Bill hitting reset ends up being the smartest thing he's done. He gets a pretty decent quarterback in the draft. He get some guys back health-wise. He's got cap space now. If you're trading Gilmore, you're opening up cap space in that point.
Plus, he would have a rookie coming in
on a rookie deal.
A rookie quarterback deal, yeah.
So it's kind of scary to think of what Bill Belichick with cap space on the defensive side of the ball for 3 years could be in the NFL. But I also think a lot of people are happy about this because you're not going to see New England reign supreme this year.
Of course they are, man. We're all tired of New England, and I'm happier than hell that they suck this season. That fan base has been spoiled for two decades. They could spend a season in third place in the AFC East.
Who do you think is which team makes fans of not that team the happiest of how their season's gone? Dallas or New England?
The Dallas stuff is stupid. Like, Dallas is just an annoyance because they get attention for not winning. New England has been dominating the NFL for two decades. Like, how many Super? What do they go to? In 20 years, they went to, what, nine Super Bowls?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, Dallas hasn't been to a Super Bowl in 25 years. I'm like, look, I love watching Dallas suck. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to be happy to not have to face New England or watch New England again in an AFC championship game. The other part, and again, everything I just said, I'm not a New England apologist, and I'm happy that they're sucking this year. To be fair to them, though, at least, and I'd have to go back and look at the official list, how many of their starters on defense opted out for the season?
They had like five or six guys.
And that was going to be like, they had a good defense last year. That was kind of going to be their strength this year. I know Chung was one of them. Like, they had a handful of guys on that side of the ball that just opted out. So if you're Belichick, you look at that probably too and say, man, I don't have half of my starting defense out there. They're probably going to be back next year. If I can spend this year getting a top 10 pick and landing the kid from North Dakota State or Justin Fields or whoever it might end up being, plus freeing up some salary cap space in a move for Gilmore, maybe adding another first round pick in a trade like that, mm-hmm. you can go draft a wide receiver at some point. You have some money to spend in the offseason. Like, if there's anybody that can take 1 year, hit a reset button, and turn things around in the short term, it's Bill Belichick. And I wouldn't put it past him to do it with New England.
Yeah, there's an element too, because he's so good. There's an element here during the conversation where I'm second guessing giving up on him already. I mean,
just for the rest of the year, you mean?
Yeah. You might be right that they might be all in and on the tank.
Unless Cam can change, like, how does Cam fix what he's looked like the last 2 weeks? That's my thing with them. Because it has not been pretty. And I don't know, maybe it's just uncomfortable.
Do you think
maybe
it's a COVID thing? I hate to go
Could
there.
Be.
But
I don't know.
He had the COVID, right?
And he did. He looked good the first couple of games of the season.
I can't come up with what the problem would be.
Right. All of a sudden, he looks like Cam at the end of the Carolina run when he couldn't play and
when
they shut
him down.
When
his shoulder was shot. Yeah. And there's been no report that Cam took a big shot and his shoulder's got problems or soreness. There's been no report of that. And he's not, he doesn't strike me as the kind of player either that's going to blame, he's going to blame anything on his play. He's one of those athletes, like, it's up to me. I have to play better point blank. And I like that about him. But you can't help but wonder, like, you are throwing the ball really well, and then against the Niners and the Broncos, you suddenly look like you don't know how to throw a football 8 yards.
Right.
I mean, some of those passes were just embarrassing last weekend.
Yeah, he's just throwing them straight into the turf, like 3 yards in front of guys.
It probably isn't COVID because they seem to be asymptomatic, but what else do you explain with how you go from what he was three games into what he's been?
I'll say this about Cam too, at least. Like, the numbers on the year are terrible. He's got 2 touchdowns and 7 picks. His QB rating is a 71. Like, the numbers aren't great. A lot of that is inflated by the last 2 weeks. To be fair to him in one aspect of it, Denver and San Francisco, I think, do have good defenses. So I will acknowledge that. But really, outside of the Seattle game, it's not like he was tearing them up. Like, week one, he played okay. They got a win over Miami. He had 150 passing yards
in
that
game. He did a lot on the ground stuff.
A lot on the ground. He had 75 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. The Seattle game, he went off. And now I think we look at that and say, well, Seattle can't stop a nosebleed. And he threw for 397 on them. In the Raider win, he had 162 passing yards, 1 touchdown, 1 pick.
So that was a defensive dominant
game for them. Very defensive dominant win for them. And then the last 2 weeks, the wheels have fallen off for them after he missed a little time with COVID. So it's not like he's been tearing it up all season. It was really one game that he went off, and that was against Seattle. And if they want any chance of turning it around, he's got to figure out how to throw the football again. But the watching in the last 2 weeks is the reason I think these rumors are circulating that Belichick is willing to move on from guys.
All right, we'll have more in the NFL coming up, but New England, it's not looking good for them. Maybe they're on their way to just, you know, kind of packing it in for the year and more getting a better draft pick. Coming up next, before we dive back into sports, I want to get to the celebrity got a gift for their birthday. And it was a hologram of their parent who has been dead for quite some time. Would you be interested in that gift? Would that be cool to you, emotional for you, or would you be all the way out on that? You do not want any part of it. We must discuss this next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We've got more rivalry games this weekend in the NFL. We got the college football slate for you. More Big Ten action. We'll spread the line coming up at 2:30. So I like to dabble in celebrity gossip from time to time.
Have you seen the story about Kim Kardashian? Outside of the vacation thing?
No.
Did you know there's a rumor out there that she has 6 toes? Is that like widespread knowledge?
Oh. I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Okay.
But
I saw.
Where'd you hear that?
I saw a story on it on Twitter yesterday, and I started chuckling because I think it was from Barstool, and they made like a Rex Ryan joke. Like, Rex Ryan's freaking out because she's got an extra toe.
And, is that how foot fetishes work? The more extra toes you get?
Yeah, it's a bonus toe, man. Why not?
I always thought it was about the shape and like the look of the skin on the foot that was appealing, but I don't have a foot fetish. I don't know.
Well, and they had a picture of her on her vacation in flip flops, and it, like, you can zoom in on her feet, and it looks like she has 6 toes.
Well, you know,
is that okay. A normal thing? Do people have 6 toes?
I don't think it's normal, but there's probably like 1% of the country has an extra
go 1%
finger or toe. Yeah.
So yeah, if you Google Kim Kardashian 6 toes, there's like all sorts of pictures of zoomed in of her feet, and yeah, she's got an extra pinky toe, man.
Well, look, Kim Kardashian already hot to a lot of people. Add a 6 toe for the foot fetish folks, and maybe it's just like a double whammy.
What's the she's out of my league thing when they're hooking up for the first time, and she's like, I can't show you this. I'm too embarrassed.
Insecurity.
And she's got like web feet or something like that. And he's like, really? That's your thing? You're smoking hot and you're worried about web feet? Like, I'm going to care about that?
Would you care about the 6 toe?
No, not at all.
I wouldn't either.
I mean, it's Kim Kardashian. Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Bonus toe. What the hell?
So you kind of created this whole Kim K segment, and it's kind of my fault, but I led us into this.
Sure, you led me down this rabbit hole.
So she was celebrating one of her birthdays yesterday, and she put this out on social, and it went viral, and I was like, oh, God, why is she trending? Is it something bad? I clicked it. I can't help it. I was raised by my mom. What do you want me to do?
Do you do that in the line at the grocery store? Are you one of those guys? Do you grab the magazines?
I don't
and
grab
flip
them.
Through?
No, but
ooh,
I.
They're getting a divorce.
I read them. I read yeah. the covers of what they are, and I'm like,
what?
I don't think I'd buy that one.
She's out of Scientology. Oh my God!
Right, or Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani on the rocks. Are they? Are they still doing that show together?
She's had a lot of surgery.
Gwen?
Yeah. It's
Well, you're not 40. She's almost 50 years old. You know that?
That face has been pumped up, you know? It doesn't move very much anymore.
Well, you know, S is bananas. What do you want her to do?
That is.
So Kim K is celebrating a birthday. Not that anybody cares, right? Well, the gift is an interesting topic here, Bob. Kanye West, who is married to Kim Kardashian, the present he got her this year was a hologram of her father, Robert Kardashian.
What?
And he delivered like a 2.5 minute spiel. And he's standing up. He's in a suit from like the 80s. He, you know, it looks freakishly real, just like the Tupac thing did at Coachella years ago.
So he had to give like a speech?
So I don't know what the program, I don't know how any of the hologram stuff works, right? Like if they take right. the voice and they can just manipulate and make him say different things in that tone or what. But he delivered a 2.5 minute speech. I was going to pull the audio and I thought, I don't think listeners want to hear it.
No.
But it basically was like, hey, I'm proud of you. You're strong, all that, you know, lovey-dovey stuff.
Uh-huh.
Also has weirdly a phrase in there that says you married the most genius, 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 genius man in the world.
Okay, that's just weird.
That was kind of creepy. But 2.5 minute little speech from her deceased father who's been dead for quite some time.
No.
As a hologram. No. She loved it. And I don't judge anybody if you do, but I'm curious out there,
no.
Would you want your dead parent to visit you at a birthday as a hologram saying, hey, I miss you, I'm proud of you, et cetera?
No. No. No, and
not even in consideration to have Rocky or Sue
shape
on the stage.
Or form, no, I don't want anything to do with that. Mm. One, because you know it's not real.
Right.
Two, Kanye West, it appears, wrote the speech, so he's putting words in your father's mouth.
Doesn't appear to be written by a lawyer there.
That's just really, really strange. And no, like I'm all for, like, if you want to have a moment at a party where you, like, spend some time remembering those who can't be there and sharing memories of them, of what they would think and the kind of person that they were, I think that's important to keep the memory of family members and friends that you lose alive or around. You want to keep those memories around, but to have a hologram, that would creep me the F out.
Swag, are you in on having a dead parent visit you as a hologram to tell you like, hi, Jason, I miss and love you, and I'm so proud of you?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, no, I no.
Boy, he I, just, that's all he wanted to
no.
say on that one.
Immediate no. Yeah, that somebody said maybe a letter from a parent that was meant to be opened, you know, on a certain birthday, something like
that.
That
would be a cool thing.
Yeah, something like that. I'd be all for because, again, it would be something, it would actually be from them. It's not created by a smart guy on your husband.
So you have not, you're not a comic book guy, so you've not seen any of the Avengers movies. But in the last Avengers, and I'm spoiling here, Iron Man dies. If you didn't know that,
way to ruin it. I was just going to dive in this weekend and watch all 37 of them.
So Iron Man dies and he records a message though before he dies because he knows it's a possibility he could be dead.
Okay.
He records a video for his daughter. And now that is a pre-recorded message of like, I love you, etc. That's different. You'd want that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a pre-recorded thing that he did himself.
Like a goodbye video.
Yeah.
That's
Something like that. Absolutely. That's something that they did themselves. That kind of weirds me out. Like this whole party, like I love that they're catching heat for this. Like the out of tone nature of like her tweet and all. It was trending on Twitter the other day. Everybody was sending like, you know, I spent 2 weeks quarantining and took all my, you know, best friends to a trip and everybody was sending out these jokey pictures and I had no clue what was going on because I'm just out of the loop on that stuff. And you let me know that it was her birthday party that she rented out a private island. I love when rich people get heat for this. Like, dude, first off, screw you. Second, you have all the money in the world. Like, go take your trip. You don't need to do it for social media purposes.
That's
like, if this
true.
Is really a big deal, if I have $1 billion in the bank, I'm probably renting out a private island too.
I was going to say, I would defend at least the action of doing it.
Right? I'd go buy a golf course. I'd do all sorts of crazy stuff like that. You know what I'm not doing during the middle of a pandemic when people are hurting?
Publicizing
flaunting
it?
Flaunting it in front of everybody's face.
Guys, I know it's a difficult year.
Everybody's having a rough year, so I had to go rent a private island.
We've all gone through our challenges.
Dude, screw you. Why do we worship these people?
I don't know. I think the OJ thing changed us.
The OJ thing
did. I really think it did. TV probably took it up a notch. Like, we were just fascinated by watching human beings perform on this box. But I think when the OJ thing happened, and coincidentally, they're tied to that as a family, it just seemed to change it. Like, we suddenly really cared about who celebrities were. We cared about, like, what they eat, where they eat, where they live, what their house looks right. like. And it's right. gotten to a much creepier level now. But I think around the OJ time is when this all changed for the worse.
She's not going to do it either, but if something like this were to happen and the significant other did a hologram and put the line like Kanye put in there, I don't know if I'd ever forget that. Like, you're making this moment that's supposed to be a, like, really emotional gift of, like, hey, remember your father and here he is and watch and listen to this speech, and you put in line in there, your ego is so large that you can't do something for somebody else without accrediting your genius abilities in every walk of life.
You have to have a compliment of yourself
like
in
you
there.
I would look over like, are you kidding me? Like, you can't just have one moment of like doing something nice for somebody else and not have it be about you.
Yeah. I do think there's a decent amount of people, though, Dirt, that would like this.
We had a few people text in that said they would.
Because the relationship you have with your parent, and it's not to say you don't have a close one versus somebody else having a more close situation, sure. but there are some people that just, like, I had my sister, her husband, so my brother-in-law, he just lost his mom, mm-hmm. right? I don't know the depths of which his relationship with his mom were. But maybe he would be the kind of guy, because some people can't grieve or get over that. It's always a surreal feeling that they don't have
I
parent,
get that.
You know what I mean?
I totally get that.
I don't think I would want it, though.
Yeah.
Because the chances are somebody doing that gift are not going to be able to write it the way my mom talks.
Right. If they didn't know your mom personally or have the fond memories that you do of the lingo and the way that she said stuff.
Right. Yeah. But for some people... cool-ass gift.
There are a few people that texted in and said that they want it, but I would say the overwhelming majority are like, they're right out on this.
Yeah, but we can't be hypocrites either. I might not want the parent as a hologram. I was all in on Tupac as a hologram.
That's totally different. Like, if you give me a hologram of, like, Abraham Lincoln giving the Gettysburg Address, something cool like that.
Ooh, I'll take a nap.
Right? Dude, I'm in on that. Let's go.
I'm just kidding.
Give me some cool historical thing, like Frank Sinatra doing a concert.
Ooh, that would be, yeah.
If I'm you do all Frank, in on that. You make it personal, right. That's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. There's certain things I would be okay if you did it. But there's the element of you can tell it's a hologram that makes it just a little off.
And the listeners, by the way, very upset. You totally ruined the Iron Man ending, and we're not going to forgive you for that. I'm pretty upset right now.
Well, I know. I was just as upset as you were because I wanted it to be Captain America. I didn't want Iron Man to die.
You wanted Captain America to die?
Oh, dude, Captain America.
Communist?
No,
come
he's
on,
insufferable.
Man. Is he?
He is the worst one of the bunch.
You know, like a shield? What is it about Captain America?
I think he's pretentious. I think he's kind of a douchebag.
He's Captain America. What do you want from him?
He acts like he created himself. He didn't. Tony Stark's dad did. You know, it just the whole thing, his whole aura is off. I've never been a Captain America guy. Chris Evans does a great job portraying him.
Okay.
Not in. Don't like the character. By the way, he just kind of reminds me of the truck flag bro. I'm bigger patriot than you are. Why? Because you have three American flags on the back of your truck.
Got the flag flapping.
You're wrapping your naked body around that thing means you're more of a patriot. It just irks me. It just bothers me. I'm not in. I don't like it. I don't need it. All right. Let's get back into the NFL, shall we? Let's move on from dead hologram parents into the NFL. It is rivalry weekend. We got some good games on slate for the week, and then we'll get some college football. We'll Sprague the line. We got a whole lot more to get to. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on radio.com and 1080 The Fan.
You don't know.
Welcome back in 133. Hope your Fridays are going well. We're going to do some college football stuff coming up here in a little bit. There was an analytical study that was done to identify the most hated team in the NFL.
Oh.
And the answer surprised me. Now, it breaks it down by region.
I know who it was, by the way, and I'm kind of with you.
Did you see the, yeah.
I think a lot of people don't like that team, but I don't think I would have picked them to be the most hated.
No, yeah. It breaks it down by region, and some of the regions totally make sense. We'll get to that coming up here in a little bit, too. Also, something is returning for the first time since 2012. We got to talk about that.
Is it the end of the world prediction?
It's the end of the world. No, that's not quite happening. Let's get to some of the bigger games in the NFL this weekend, though. There's really two I kind of want to center on. And one of them we talked a little bit about yesterday, but it deserves more attention because of an announcement we just got. But let's get to, I would argue, the game of the week and the same team involved in the game of the week now back-to-back weeks as the Pittsburgh Steelers. Kind of a shame this one isn't flexing a Sunday Night Football.
Oh, you think this is the game of the week?
I do.
It's a good weekend to have differing opinions on that. I think it's close. I don't think it is.
Which one would you put ahead of Pittsburgh-Baltimore?
I think because of the division... And I know the AFC North is a good division, too. But I think because of the division, I think the Niners-Seahawks one is.
Okay.
Because the Niners 2-3 weeks ago were...
They were done.
They got cooked. They were getting torched by Miami. They looked done. And Seattle was rolling. Now Seattle had some shaky wins. And then last week, they finally lose to Arizona and blow a 10-point lead in the final minutes. And they're banged up as all hell. That one's got a lot riding on kind of where that division's going to go.
Yeah, it does. There's no doubt about that. So does Pittsburgh and Baltimore, too, because Pittsburgh wins this week, man. You got a two-game lead on the Ravens in the AFC North. If Baltimore wins, all of a sudden you're tied atop the division, and Baltimore has the tiebreaker. And Baltimore was a team that felt like a pretty easy pick to win it at the start of the year. The spread in this game is a little unique. Depending on where you look, it's anywhere from 3.5 to 4.5 points. And Pittsburgh's coming off a big emotional win against Tennessee that went down to the wire. Baltimore's coming off a bye, so I guess I understand that argument. I do view this, though, as a big kind of prove-it game for Baltimore. I think Pittsburgh had a little bit of that last week against Tennessee. Tennessee was playing good, undefeated. Mm-hmm. You don't get undefeated matchups that late in the season very often, and Pittsburgh, although they played terribly in the second half, was able to outlast them and get a win. There has been, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago before Baltimore's bye, there is a vibe of something being amiss with Baltimore this year. They're just not quite clicking at the same level that they did last year offensively. Total yards per game, Pittsburgh's averaging more yards per game. They're giving up fewer yards. They're scoring more points per game. Like, a lot of the metrics and analytics in this game lean Pittsburgh, and this could be a big, let's quiet all the... I don't want to say naysayers because we still think Baltimore is a good team, but let's quiet some of the criticism around us. If Baltimore gets a win this week, I think it accomplishes that.
Yeah, and the line's been interesting because it opened at 6. It dropped all the way down to 3 to 3.5. It's been bet back up to about 4 to 4.5, depending on where you're looking. But, Baltimore, I'm with you. We talked about that a week or two ago that they just don't quite look the same, but they're coming off a bye.
Mm-hmm.
And Pittsburgh went to Tennessee. That was a big emotional game. You lost Devin Bush for the year, so you got a speedy linebacker now who can't quite track down a guy like Lamar Jackson. That could play a factor in this as well. I expect the under to hit. I don't expect a ton of points between these two. I think both their defenses are pretty damn good. And Pittsburgh has this... Pittsburgh still does this from time to time, and they've kind of largely done this with Roethlisberger. They've had a ton of success and accomplished, 2 Super Bowls with him. Mm-hmm. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. One thing I've noticed, though, with him as the quarterback, they kind of do what Tennessee does a little bit. And I think you saw that last week. And Tennessee no-showed the first half. They got completely boat raced in the first half. The second half was different. Tennessee made a huge storming comeback. They cut it within a field goal. And you thought, is Pittsburgh going to blow this?
They had a last chance to tie it at the end of regulation.
Man, they go so up and down offensively where... At times, they look like the most dominant offense in the NFL, and then you add all those weapons that they have at wide receiver with Johnson, Claypool, Smith-Schuster. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough to defend. And then they have moments like the second half where they can't move the ball, and Ben's throwing right. ill-advised throws that turn into interceptions. I don't know what that is, but they've always kind of been that with Roethlisberger, where they just go up. They have peaks and valleys in games, and that would concern me because I think Baltimore is a little more consistent in that regard, and they've come off that bye, so...
Yeah, the bye week stuff is always big, and this is similar. I remember we talked about Pittsburgh and Tennessee last week. It's one of those something's got to give games because you look at Baltimore rushes for basically 165 yards per game, and I would imagine that's tops in the NFL. We just looked that up the other day. I think Baltimore still leads in that category as a team, 165 a game. Pittsburgh only gives up 68 yards per game on the ground. And they did a good job bottling up Derrick Henry. They didn't completely shut him down. You can't. He's just too big and too talented. But I believe they held him below 4 yards a carry. They didn't let him over 100 yards. They didn't give up one of those big, you know, 75-yard chunk touchdown runs that could be a backbreaker for a defense. So that's something, one of those, it's got to go either way. Baltimore, great at running the football. Pittsburgh, great at stopping the run. I saw this earlier today because if you missed it, they just gave Ronnie Stanley a big contract extension today. The Ravens did. And this just, it just sums up great organizations, right? So Field Yates put this out on Twitter this morning. Here are their first round picks since 2016. Ronnie Stanley, who's an all-pro, just got a $98 million extension. Marlon Humphrey, all-pro, he just got a $97 million extension. Lamar Jackson, who's only won an MVP in 2.5 years in the NFL. Hayden Hurst, who they just was a great tight end. They just traded him, and that pick ended up becoming J.K. Dobbins. Hollywood Brown, who has 8 touchdowns in 20 games. And then Patrick Queen, who they got from LSU last year. He's leading all rookies in tackles this season. So they're your first-round picks since 2016. And that sums up why some organizations are better than others.
Well, and you know, much like Seattle last week, and I think Pittsburgh's got a great shot to win this. They have so much talent out there, and it's such a difficult matchup for them. But much like Seattle, this is kind of the NFL. Unless you are a legendary-type team, and we've only seen really one of those, a couple here and there, like New England was in 2007, you're bound to lose.
Yeah, you're going
to
lose.
Like at some point,
they're not going undefeated this year.
Pittsburgh is not going undefeated this year. I refuse to believe that. And I think that's why you would see some of that line movement where it starts at 6. You and I are both like, what?
Huh?
Pittsburgh's good. Right. And then instantly everybody jumps on Pittsburgh plus the 6. It goes all the way down to 3. And then now it's balanced out a little more and gone up by a number or so. So I just think you look at it and it's Pittsburgh can beat Baltimore. They got a great shot at it. I also worry that is this the week Pittsburgh suffers their first loss of the season, given they've played some tough games.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson comes out, runs all over him. And it just looks like Lamar Jackson of old. Well, from my game of the week to your game of the week, later in the afternoon, you get San Francisco and Seattle. And I would argue one of the better rivalries in the NFL over the last 10 years and maybe the two best regular season games last year, that Monday Night Football Classic, that Seattle one down on the road. And then week 17, of course, coming down to the 1-inch yard line that ended up winning the 49ers. The division. The concerning thing here, we knew about the 49ers injuries. They have been mounting all season, including earlier this week. We let you know that Wilson's out and Debo Samuel's out, both with high ankle sprains. So that's another tough blow for them. Get this from Seattle. Brady Henderson, our good buddy at ESPN, just put this out. So Jamal Adams still not practicing. He's been listed as questionable for this weekend. Chris Carson and Travis Homer, also questionable for this weekend. Ryan Neal, Shaq Griffin, they're both out. And then other players that are doubtful are Carlos Hyde, Mike Iupati, and Ugo Amadi. So you're looking at your top three running backs, Jamal Adams, your safety, a defensive lineman, a corner, another safety, a guard. Like, dude, they are incredibly banged up this week and still a slight favorite. The game is in Seattle, so you give them that benefit plus the Russell Wilson benefit. But it felt like maybe is anybody ever going to get as injured as San Francisco in that division? And Seattle is creeping towards that category.
Seattle's very close to passing them because San Francisco's probably on the other end of this where they're a week or two away from getting a lot of guys returning from their injuries. I'm looking forward to it. I said this before and people disagree. A lot of people think it's Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and I understand why. This is the best rivalry in the NFL to me. Both these teams now are contenders who just have absolute slugfests. Seattle had won 9 in a row at one point. They're now 1-2 in their last 3 against San Francisco. And as you highlight, last year they had the two best games probably of the season, first on that Monday nighter and the second on Sunday night being a half inch. Maybe changing San Francisco to not getting to the Super Bowl to getting the Super Bowl for the because they got home field advantage throughout the postseason with that one. But
and maybe putting Seattle in the Super Bowl because they would have been playing playoff games at home.
I want to bet Niners plus the 3 here. I know yesterday we did our picks and I took Seattle minus the 3. You add all these guys that potentially won't play, Adams, Carson being the two biggest there. I want to do it, but there's something about betting against Russ at home that will always leave me uncomfortable and not confident in that pick.
Yeah.
And so even with all of these, you know, these losses on offense and defense, I still look at this as, is DK still playing? Tyler Lockett still playing? Darren Moore still playing? Russell Wilson still the quarterback?
Right.
You can lose these guys and they're going to give up some points, but it's hard for me to imagine they're going to completely shut him down because San Francisco still doesn't really have much of a pass rush. Their linebacking play is stellar. Greenlaw, Warner. They have Warner might be the best linebacker that nobody talks about in the NFL. Their secondary still a little banged up, and they might be a week or two away from getting some guys back, including Richard Sherman. And so that's what would leave me nervous here. But I think that field goal, it might be closer than three even. I mean, this is a game where both teams depleted, as you mentioned, with injuries on both sides of the ball. And Jimmy G could be the dictator here. Is he going to show up and he's going to play well? Is he going to play like Jimmy G played most of last year? Or is he going to play inconsistent football, which is kind of what we've seen from him so far?
Yeah, the fear is always, will Russell Wilson have the ball down by a score in the fourth quarter?
And in that moment, does, you're not betting against him.
Nobody feels right? good. The eye-opening stat in this one that I saw just looking into it, just in the yards per game allowed between the two teams, Seattle is giving up 485 yards per game. San Francisco is giving up 319. That's a pretty sizable gap. Jeez. Another one of those. Something's got to give. The 49ers, not an elite offense, if you will, in Seattle, a terrible defense. Something's got to give in that regard. But two great games, two great rivalries this weekend.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both these games. You got a lot of big rivalry games throughout the NFL, but these two, to me, are the ones that stand atop in the slate.
Wish one of them could be on Sunday Night Football so we don't have to suffer through Philly and Dallas. Gouge your eyes out. Good luck watching that one.
Why do you think they didn't flex that? Is that just about getting eyeballs because of the two franchises?
I think it's maybe CBS and Fox with the exclusive rights for the TV games on these saying, I ain't giving that game up.
Getting Philly and Dallas in return.
No, I'm not switching that bad boy out. Let's stick in the NFL coming up next. There was a study done on Twitter just based on tweets and what people are saying about certain teams. They have identified the most hated NFL team in America. And I think the answer will surprise you. What team do you think it is? 503-250-1080. We'll get to that crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, crunch time. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Remember, they have a deal going on. It lasts until tomorrow. $1 enrollment on any membership. Plus, you get a $25 gift card if you sign up. I was not at the Glorious House of Gains
today. That is
what?
7 and 9.
Can't walk, man. I didn't do 100 deadlifts yesterday. You ever do 100 deadlifts?
Like you specifically wanted to do 100 deadlifts?
I did not specifically want to do anything. My personal trainer designed 100 deadlifts. And not fun. Not ideal.
How much did you deadlift one specific weight the entire time?
150. That's 10 sets of 10. Yeah. Over and over.
And over.
So no, I was not. I woke up today and I was limping around the house. And no, it's going to take a couple days to get over that leg.
Get on the treadmill today.
Hey, come on. Okay, I saw this and I thought it was kind of funny. By the way, Sprague and the Line, final hour. Get your fake sponsors in. And something is returning for the first time since 2012. And some of this is not surprising. So the CBS Sports put this out where they basically looked at Twitter data gathered by sportsinsider.com. We all frequent that website, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
And they looked at Twitter users all over the country to identify the most hated NFL teams in certain regions and then the most hated NFL team in the entire country. So, like, you go to certain spots, like in the Northwest, shocking, it's the 49ers because Seattle and San Francisco are big rivals. Go down to California, Seattle is the most hated NFL team down there. You go to places like Texas, it's the Eagles. You got the Cowboy in Dallas, you know, or the Cowboy and Philly rivalry there. The Packers in certain parts, the Bears in certain parts. New England pops up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is the most hated team in Pennsylvania. Not a lot of shockers. The one that did surprise me, though, and they used data from over 90,000 tweets to come to the conclusion. Swigard, do you want to take a guess at this? Because you haven't seen it. Who the most hated NFL team is?
The most hated NFL team is, and this is modern day?
Just right now. Currently based on tweets in the last, you know,
he's never
this NFL
guess
season.
This. Never.
Oh, in this NFL season, I would think it would be Washington.
Oh, no. Actually, not a bad off-the-board guess.
Wait, why do you think it's Washington?
Because of Snyder name. And all the nonsense that's going on. And
oh, that would require a lot of people to read, and I don't think we get that.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad off-the-board guess. Just
plus, everybody in the NFC East hates Washington. They hate each other, period.
True.
Yeah.
This is true.
I'm trying to think of an out-of-the-box one. That's a, you know, Washington.
Well, I'm trying to, based on Twitter, where.
What I'm saying, it's out of the box. So it's clearly not New England and it's clearly not Dallas because those wouldn't be out of the box.
Is it the Chargers because they're still in LA and nobody likes them?
No, nobody has a feeling on the Chargers either way. They don't show up anywhere as a hated team.
Now tell him, I was surprised by this.
The most hated team, according to 90,000 tweets that have been compiled, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't get that.
I don't really get that either.
I get that they're kind of the Patriot thing, except a lot longer. The model of consistency from the 70s to now. I mean, I'd have to go through their football reference, Steve, and see how many years below 500 they've had since 1970. I can't fathom it's more than 10.
Is there a particular reason? Do they go?
They just say it shows up in more states than any other state of people tweeting, "I hate the Steelers."
Well, they always win, though. You have to take that into account here. It's about winning.
They've been consistently good for a very long time.
Did anybody care about the Patriots prior to Belichick Brady's run?
No, they had really cool uniforms, and they lost to Brett Favre in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
And or the Bears. 85 Bears.
Yeah. Right. That's kind of it. So it's about winning. When you win, people get tired and annoyed of you. It's the LeBron theory. It's not that LeBron competes with Jordan. It's that LeBron has been winning for 17 years.
He's been in the NBA Finals a decade straight.
Yeah, and that bothers people. I'm going to go. I just brought it up right now. I will look. So far, when was their last sub 500 season?
Oh, God. They were 8-8 last year, so it wasn't last year. I don't think they've ever.
Tomlin's never been below 500.
They've never had one with Ben Roethlisberger.
By the way, Tomlin, I think he's been there now longer than Cowher.
Yeah, he's been there a long time, man.
He's right there.
Didn't Cowher walk out on top after the 04 Super Bowl?
Yes, he did.
So Tomlin's been there basically, what, 15 years now?
Yeah.
I think.
Yes.
Sounds right.
Well, 07 was Tomlin's first year.
Oh, so maybe Cowher hung around a couple more years after that.
Bettis walked out at the Super Bowl.
That's right. That's who it was. God, I think you'd probably have to go back to like post Cordell Stewart, late 90s Steelers. Did they have a year in there? Or maybe the year that they drafted Ben Roethlisberger, like the year prior to that?
The year they drafted Roethlisberger was their last sub 500 year. They were 6-10 that year.
Okay.
03.
2003.
This just shows you who they are. They went 6-10 the very next year. Roethlisberger, his rookie year, they went 15-1. Yeah. Oh, wait, no. Roethlisberger was 04, wasn't he?
I think so. I'd have to go back and look it up.
Anyways, their last sub 500 season was 2003.
That's almost two straight decades and not having a losing year. That is incredible.
They had one in 99, 98. And 91.
It's only three in the 90s.
88, 85. That's basically it.
Just remarkable consistency.
Like 4 years below 500 since the 70s.
So they show up, according to the data, in Tennessee, Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana, Maryland, Delaware, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Pittsburgh is the most hated team in all of those states. So
probably a lot of... what fan bases would be over there?
That's random, and some of them don't have teams.
Patriots, because Pittsburgh was one of the few teams that could hang with them throughout the dynasty.
Probably the Ravens, to a certain extent.
The Ravens, that rivalry has been going.
Ohio,
now
they've been
Tennessee,
beating up on Cincinnati
that would
and
be,
Cleveland.
Yeah.
And Cleveland, they kicked the crap out of Cleveland every time they play them.
Because Cincinnati's right on the border of Kentucky.
They don't get enough. Like, people always make fun of the Patriots, and they're like, you only win because of your division. Pittsburgh benefited a lot. Like, they had Baltimore there, but one other team?
Yeah, Cincinnati. They had the 5 years where they were good, but they couldn't win a playoff game.
Right.
And then Cleveland's been abysmal. Yeah. They've been the worst team in the league for 20 years. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting. Sports Insider, they tracked out of 90,000 Twitter users and just kind of looked at keywords and the way that people talk about teams. And according to them, the most hated team in the NFL is the Pittsburgh Steelers. A bit of an upset in my mind. I didn't see that coming. The 49ers own the entire Northwest. Seattle owns California and Arizona. No shocker there. It was kind of fun to look at that map. I'll tweet this out if you want to go look at it, at Dirt and Sprague. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Don't forget that deal goes until tomorrow. A $1 enrollment on any membership and a gift card of $25 when you sign up. Great deal. Go check them out. Crunch.com or stop by one of the locations. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we'll get to the college football slate. A couple interesting games this weekend. Has anybody got the cojones to think that Clemson loses without Trevor Lawrence in the lineup? We will Sprague the line, so get your fake sponsors in. 503-250-1080. We'll try and win some money. Sprague had a great week last week. I think Swag was 2-1 last week. Yeah, 2-1. You guys were 5-1 combined. Good week for you guys. Get to that coming up at 2:30.
Good point by a listener real quick here. Roethlisberger himself is
very true. Very, very questionable dude. That's a great point.
I'm not a fan. I tell you that many a time. Yeah, not
you
a
hate
fan.
Ben Roethlisberger. And then something's coming back for the first time since 2012. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.